Praise God for our Savior who died for us.
Amen.
If you're able, let's stand together and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20 is our text again today. Let's pray, and then we'll read the Word of God together this morning. And as you find your place there, I'm going to ask Brother Philip, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Please be seated. And then while you're finding your seat, if you would open to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, and I want to remind you of this text today. In verse 6, Acts 1 and verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to know today that we've walked through the power of the commission, we've walked through the purpose of the commission, and we spent a little bit of time last week talking about the second part of that purpose. Our first purpose, he's going to give us power so we can be witnesses unto him. And then the main goal, though, the overarching thing is to go make disciples. So as we go make disciples of all nations, we're going to baptize those who believe, we're going to teach them to observe or to keep the commandments of Jesus. We spent some time walking through how Jesus taught last time, and we were challenged that we would in turn teach the Word of God by its authority, that we would, like Jesus, we would live it out, we would follow what the Bible says, and that we would in turn walk with people, others, and call them to follow Jesus. Amen. So we teach the Word of God, we live out the Word of God, we walk with others, calling them to follow Jesus, and then as people do that, we send them out, right? People are to be sent out to do the same work. And this thing that Jesus started, his church that he built and is building, is supposed to be self-replicating. The goal of it is that disciples would be disciples who make disciples. And that's what we want to see happen. And so today we're going to move on to the next section of these commissions. And it's to look at the promises that sustain the kingdom commission, the promises that sustain us. First of all, look back at Matthew and notice he gives us his abiding presence. He says, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, or the age, we might say, that this eon, this time period, Jesus says, I am with you. And I want you to remember that little word there, lo, literally means to look. Look. Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be with you. And he's done that through the presence of his Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful that Christ is still with us today?
Amen.
I mean, you guys are amen in that like you know him. Amen. You're amen in it like you know he's with you.
Amen.
Like he's not a God who's afar off, but he's very near and very present with you. And he is by his Spirit today.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that our Savior is with us. He hasn't left us alone. His presence is with us even now today. God has given us his presence. And Charles Spurgeon said this, if Jesus be with us, we have no cause for fear. His presence is better than armies.
Amen.
Listen, if I know the Lord Jesus is with me, whom shall I fear?
Amen.
Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Like, what do we have to fear? If God be with us, who can be against us? And we have his presence. Now, this command, I want you to think about what he's calling us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. I just ask you real quick, do you think that that command is too big for us to go make disciples of all nations? Is that too big for me and you? Too big for us? Yeah, we got ways. Is it too big for us? Is the mission beyond our ability? Is he with us today? So I'm going to tell you, I'm fully persuaded that this command is too big for us. That it's far beyond our ability. Like I'm just telling you, in my own strength, I don't know that I could make one disciple, much less go disciple the nations. I don't think any Christian has that within them in and of themselves, which is the whole point. It's why he ends this commission with, look, I'm with you. You're not alone. You're not in this alone. You don't have to do this alone. And that is really encouraging to me because I don't know about you. I just think it's something in our fallen nature that we feel alone sometimes. I think that it's something that there's a loneliness that can settle over us, and it's debilitating when you think you're alone. It's debilitating when you think you're the only one. And listen, you could be sitting in the room right now today and feel very alone and be like, I'm the only one. And we can have some of those moments, like an Elijah moment, where even though God has done amazing, great, and powerful things in our life, we can be over by the brook by ourselves thinking there's nobody else but me. Right?
Amen.
But he wasn't the only one. And you're not the only one either. But even if you were, even if you were the last Christian drawing breath on the planet, you are never alone.
Amen.
Never alone. I thank God that he's given us the Spirit, and I know that he's with me today. It's the Spirit's empowering presence. He said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God came and descended on the church there. But I want you to know this. When you are born again, the Spirit of God is in you, and he's with you, and he will give you power for the rest of your days. Power to do what God's called you to do. He comes upon you. And I want you to think about some of the things the Holy Spirit does. And as we have time, we'll look at a lot of scriptures this morning. But I want you to just think about the work of the Holy Spirit as he shows us in the New Testament. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us. He convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. The Holy Spirit does that work. And have you ever felt conviction?
Amen.
I mean, have you ever did something and you're like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that? Have you ever said something like, ooh, I really shouldn't have said that?
Yeah.
Listen, we've all thought something, said something, did something, gone somewhere. I mean, just you can lay it all out there and you feel that conviction. That is the Spirit of God. And he doesn't just convict us. Thank God he convicted us before we were saved. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And he does that so that we'll turn to him. So he brings conviction. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the one who reveals God to us. This is the work of the Spirit in our hearts. And I think he does that for everybody. Every human being on the planet knows that there is a creator in heaven. Now, they might suppress that truth in their unrighteousness, Romans chapter 1. But God's put that knowledge. They know there's a God in heaven. And that's the work of the Spirit of God. He calls us. He calls us. We've been called by the Spirit of God to repent and believe the gospel. And he calls us because Christ was lifted up on the cross. He draws all to himself, and that's the work of the Spirit of God. Not only that, but it's the Spirit who regenerates. Did you know this, that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you repent and believe, that you're made alive?
Amen.
Do you guys know that?
Amen.
You look a little dead this morning, so I want to make sure you know that you've been made alive. Listen, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and the moment you repented and trusted in Jesus, he made you alive.
Amen.
You're not dead anymore. Now you're alive. And it's the Spirit of God that does that work. He regenerates you. He makes you alive. Now, I'm convinced that regeneration is a result of faith. I believe that you believe and then you are born again. You're born again, you're regenerated, you're made new, you're made alive through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he died for all, but that doesn't mean all live. It only applies to those who believe. So don't make the mistake of believing, well, Jesus died for everybody, so we're all good. No, you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must trust in him. And when you trust in him, he makes you alive. You're born again by the Spirit of God, regenerated, made new. We had a problem in our spiritual DNA. We were separated from God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But when you trust in Jesus, the Spirit of God makes you new. He fixes all that. And he takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and puts it on you. That's the work of the Spirit. He not only that, he seals us. He gives us assurance. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I love that picture too. It's that stamp, that impression that he puts on. And you guys have read about that when the kings or people of authority, they would seal something. Maybe they would pour hot wax on it, and they had a seal that they impressed on it their mark. Guess what? Jesus Christ has impressed his mark on you.
Amen.
And it's not in wax. It's in hearts. Hearts that have been made alive by the Spirit of God. He sealed us with that Holy Spirit of promise. And not only that, he gives us assurance.
Amen.
You can know today that you have eternal life.
Yes.
Have you ever worried about it?
There was a time.
Ever wondered about it? Ever been concerned about it? Am I saved? Am I really saved? Have any of you guys ever dealt with that? Like, did I do it right? Did I pray it right? Did I say the right thing? Did I do... I'm just so worried that we got it right. I just want you to understand something. It's not about getting all these things right. It's about believing.
Amen.
It's simple, childlike faith to believe. Okay? I mean, it really is. And we make it really hard and complicated, but it's just this. Repent means to change your mind.
Amen.
Turn away from your sin and unbelief and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's just that simple.
Amen.
It's not complicated. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can know that you have eternal life. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm just telling you this morning in this room, or if you're watching online, you can know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
And that's the work of the Spirit. He gives us assurance. And yeah, there's been times. I mean, we just read about it. He meets the disciples and some doubted. Like, I don't know about you, but that strikes me every time I read it. They saw Jesus and they worshiped him. That's a good response. Some doubted. That's not a good response. There's no reason to doubt him. He died and rose again. They were looking at the risen Savior. How could they doubt?
Amen.
You might be, what's wrong with those people? The same thing that's wrong with me.
Yeah.
I have not seen Jesus with these eyes, but I have seen him.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
And I know him. And I know he's alive. And I know he's my Savior. And I still struggle with doubt.
Amen.
Amen.
And yet he loves. And yet he keeps. And yet his Spirit gives assurance.
Amen.
You can know that you have eternal life. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So he seals us and he gives us assurance. When you think about this, he does the work of sanctification.
Amen.
All right, stay with me for just a second here, because this is something I think most of us get. If somebody's really saved, will God change their life? Like if the Spirit of God lives inside of you, are you going to be the same as you always were? Or will you be different? Got to be different, right?
Amen.
Now listen, this is where there's a lot of break in our theological understanding in our communities around us today, so I want to make sure you understand this. Talk to a lot of people I love dearly, and they'll say, yes, you got to believe in Jesus, but then you have to live it. You have to live it. And what they mean is, you have to live it. If you don't live it, then you'll lose it. Okay? That's what they say. If you don't live it, you'll lose it. Listen, I think you have to live it. But I don't think living it is what keeps it. Jesus keeps me. But if he's got me, then I will live it. So I'm not living it so I don't lose it. I'm living it because he's given it to me. Does that make sense to you guys? It's something you're going to be, and sometimes you just read your Bible and you'll be like, ooh, I don't know about that. That sounds like I could lose my salvation. Well, listen, if it were possible to lose your salvation, you would.
Amen.
You guys get that?
Amen.
Like, if it was up to you to keep it, nobody would keep it. I'm astounded sometimes. I don't think people actually think through this and just trust what Jesus says. He gives everlasting life. Just believe him. But just think through it logically, too. Listen, how arrogant would you have to be to think that you've lived it so perfectly that you get to keep it? If you could lose your salvation, you would.
Amen.
And the Spirit gives you assurance. And man, those moments when that peace washes over you, that peace that passes understanding. I don't know if you guys ever look at the stars at night. The last couple of weeks, man, there were some nights, especially those cold nights. You could go outside and the stars are just a little bit brighter. The sky is just a little bit clearer. You could see a few more stars that you even didn't even realize were there. And I love to do that and look up and remember that my Savior made all those.
Amen.
He's got me. And there are those moments like that, watching the sun come up, watching the sun go down, I'm just reminded that he's got us.
Amen.
And I have assurance and I feel this presence of the Spirit that is giving me that knowledge that he's got me. Not only does he seal and assure, but he does the work of sanctification. He's the one that does the work of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. It's not by our efforts, it's by the work of the Spirit. He sanctifies us, he renews us, he teaches us. Brother Philip prayed a minute ago about letting these things sink down into our ears. You know who does that? That's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's not because you're just such a good listener. I know your teacher gave you good marks because you listened good. That was not me.
Yeah.
I didn't listen well, but I talked a lot. And I didn't stay in my seat and all the things that you could get in trouble for. That was me. I'm telling you, when I learn something of God, that's not me. That's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He teaches us. He guides us. He illuminates the Word of God for us. And he leads us. He's the one that does the work of transformation. He didn't just save you and leave you to yourself, but he's still with you. And he is going to perform that good work he started. The moment you got saved, he's going to keep doing that work until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He does that work. So thank God for the Holy Spirit that he's with you and he's sanctifying you and renewing you and teaching you and guiding you. Now, does that mean you have no effort in it? Of course you have to put some effort in it. Okay, everybody know what osmosis is? This is when things are transferred, we think about it in cells, when something's transferred in and out of a cell, it's moving from one place to another, it's osmosis. And I used to think when I was in school, if I just fell asleep with my head on my textbook, that the stuff would just transfer by osmosis. You know, that never worked. I didn't learn anything from any of the classes I slept through. What, you people never slept in class? Look, confession's good for the soul. How many of you have slept in a class along with me? All right, there you go. Stop judging me. Listen, I'm not going to learn God's word. I'm not going to learn God's word by leaving this on my coffee table.
Right.
I'm not going to learn God's word until I open it.
Right.
But when I open it and I read it, the Spirit of God will take it and move it from the page into my heart.
Amen.
That's what God does. That's what God does. My kids are like, your Bible's always on your desk. You just read your phone. I know, but it's still God's word. I can't get it unless I get in the book.
Amen.
So do I have a part in then? Yes. Yes, I have a part. I have to put the effort, but the Spirit is going to put it in my heart. Some of you are still looking at me judgy. You can't believe I slept in class. Listen, God is gracious.
Amen.
God is gracious. And he is good. And he does the work of sanctifying, renewing, teaching, and leading us. He will guide us into all truth. Then look at this. He empowers us. We just read this. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Listen, it's not by might, not by power, but by thy Spirit,
Amen.
says the Lord. It's His Spirit that gives us the ability to do anything. How are we going to make disciples? By the power of the Spirit. How am I going to be a witness for Jesus? By the power of the Spirit. We're going to talk about it this afternoon in the afternoon service after the fellowship meal. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that hold us back from being the witnesses we ought to be, some of the obstacles that we face. And I'm going to tell you, the biggest obstacle for me being a witness for Jesus is me. My own fears and insecurities hold me back. But if I would just remember every time, every day that I have opportunities to be a witness for Jesus, His Spirit gives me the power. I don't have to do this. It's Him. He works in us and through us to be witnesses for Him. He empowers us. I want you to know this. He's the one that produces fruit. In Galatians 5, we read about the fruit of the... It's not the fruit of the Christian. It's not the fruit of the saint. It's not even the fruit of the church. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's His Spirit that produces love and joy and peace and goodness and faith and temperance and meekness. And all those good things come from the Spirit of God. He does that work in us. And He's the one that gives us gifts. The abilities that you have in your service to Him are from the Spirit. They're gifts of the Spirit. Whether it's mercy showing or giving or leading, whatever it is, He gives us the ability. It's by His Spirit. I want you to know this too. He enables our prayers and intercedes on our behalf. Have you ever had trouble even knowing what to pray? Some of you struggle with this all the time. Some of you not so much. You just start praying and it just kind of flows. But there have been moments in my life as a Christian where I fall on my knees and words don't come. I don't even know what to say or how to say it. Whether it's through brokenness or conviction or desperation, whatever it is, I'm just there on my face and I don't even know what to say. But the Spirit enables us and He makes intercession on our behalf. The scripture says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit will help you pray. And by the way, we should always pray in the Spirit. Amen. What does that mean? As opposed to the flesh. And I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that too many times our prayers are being prayed in the flesh. That it's carnal, that it's fleshly, that we're trying to get what we want or things that we can consume in our lust. And He says, no, pray in the Spirit. Amen. What does that mean? It means I'm denying the flesh. That I'm not concerned about me here and now. I'm concerned about His will forever. Amen. The Holy Spirit also disciplines us. He disciplines us. It's like conviction, but He convicted you before you were His. After you're His, He disciplines you like you're His child because you're His child. Right. And doesn't, like, you deal with your kids different than you deal with other people's kids, right? Lord, I hope so. Like, you guys walking through Walmart, just snatching up somebody else's kids and wearing them out? Some of you don't need to answer that question. I'm not saying what do you want to do, I'm saying what do you do? Listen, I treat my kids different because they're my kids. Amen. And God deals with you different because you're His. Amen. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Right. He chastises His own, and if He doesn't chastise you, then you're not His. You're not His son or His daughter. So thank God that the Holy Spirit will chastise you. He will convict you. He will discipline. He will nurture you and get you back on the right path. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that He deals with me as His son. He strengthens us. He preserves us. I believe in the perseverance of the saints. You know what that means? That means that I believe that when you're saved, He's going to keep you to the very end. And that, friends, is the power and work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not us. And not only that, He guarantees future glory. Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. And I'm a part of His kingdom now and forever. And if you're saved, you're a part of His kingdom now and forever. And that promise, that hope is through His Spirit. I wanted to walk through kind of an overview of those things just to get the big picture, but let's zoom in on a couple of them real quick. Find John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14, 15. If you're interested in learning about the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus begins talking about those things in earnest in chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 in the Gospel of John. He lets us know about the Holy Spirit because Jesus is coming to the end of his life. He's coming very near to the end, and he's trying to give his disciples comfort. Listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to die, but I'll rise again, but I'm going to go away. And when Jesus told them he was going to go away, they were very sad. And if you'd have been there with Jesus, you'd be sad too. But he said, it's good for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Comforter won't come. So, John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. Jesus gave the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send my Spirit, and he's going to come to you. He's going to be with you. Now, I don't want to take the time to read everything in between, but jump down to verse 26, John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't that awesome? I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. And the way I'm going to do that is send my Holy Spirit. He's with you right now, disciples, at that time, but he's going to be in you. And he's going to be with you forever. And when he comes and he's in you, he's going to teach you everything, and he's going to help you remember. Anybody here today need help remembering? Amen. Talked about that, didn't we? My whole life, older people than me have talked about forgetting things. You know, they talked about walking in a room and forgetting why they went in there for. You guys ever do that? Yeah, I've been doing that since I was 12. I'm terrified of getting older. Like, I won't know anything. We forget all kinds of stuff. I mean, literally, I'll pick up my phone to do something. I'm going to check an email, or I'm going to do something. Next thing you know, 20 minutes later, I've been scrolling through Facebook, and I'm like, what am I even doing? Yes. What just happened? Yes. Hey, it's like a black hole. It sucks you in. There's so many times we forget things. But I'm gonna give you some good news. I've experienced this so many times in my life. I get to have an encounter where I get to share the gospel with somebody. And I'm telling you that when the Holy Spirit shows up in those moments, I'm just saying things, remembering verses that I'd forgotten that I even knew. Amen. And the Spirit is just taking over and bringing things to remembrance that Jesus taught me. Amen. And they're just flowing. Amen. And it's awesome. Because it's not me. Amen. It's the Spirit of God at work. And some of you have experienced that. And it's an awesome thing. And it's something we can experience all the time. We just put ourselves in those situations where we're standing up for Jesus and we're speaking his name. His Spirit is going to be there and give us remembrance of what he's taught us. Amen. Not only in those moments of witnessing, but in moments of temptation. If you'll look away from the temptation to that exit, he will always make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. If you'll look for that, man, he'll give you scriptures to remember. He'll remind you of those things, and they give you strength to get away from the temptation. It is written. I got to remember what God said. I remember what my Savior taught me. So he teaches us, he brings all things to our remembrance. And how else are we going to go make disciples? How are we going to teach them to observe all things that Christ commanded if we don't remember ourselves? Amen. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Fast forward, if you would, to John 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Amen. Man, the Holy Spirit Jesus says, it's expedient for you, it's better for you that I go away, that the Comforter comes. That impacts me every time I read it. It is hard for me to understand how it would be better for anybody for Jesus to go away. Do you get that? But that's exactly what he's telling them. It's better for you. It's needful for you. It's proper for me to go away. Why? Because when I go away, I'm going to send my Comforter. I'm going to pour him out on all of you, and I'm still going to be with you. I will come to you, but through my Spirit. My Spirit's going to be in each and every one of you. He reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they don't believe. Righteousness, because he goes to his Father, and you see me no more. Jesus was righteousness embodied. Amen. Physical manifestation of the righteousness of God. And he said, I'm going away, but my Spirit will still convince the world of what righteousness is and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Judgment is coming for the devil and all his angels and all who do not believe. I got a lot of things, Jesus said, I want to tell you, but when the Spirit has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Praise God for the Holy Spirit, his conviction, his presence, his teaching, and everything that he gives us. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, Ephesians 1:13, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. What happened? You heard the gospel, you believed the gospel, and he saved you. When he saved you, he's going to keep you until Jesus comes again. Amen. What a Savior. Amen. What a Savior. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we need to follow the pattern that God gave us. Let me end with this, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I usually get some of you to perk up when I say, let me end with this. Start zipping up your Bible cases. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, or because of the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. When you hear the word of God, the Spirit of God convicts you, your response is this: receive the word. What does that mean? Amen. Take it in by faith. Believe it to be true. When you believe the word of God, then the Holy Spirit saves you. He regenerates you. He seals you and keeps you forever. And you need to take the next step by being baptized to picture his death, burial, and resurrection. And when you do that, you continue in his word, being taught by his Spirit. Taught by the Spirit forever and ever. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. I told you this is about the promises. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, our musicians to come, and check out this last verse. Remember, Jesus gave them the promise. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to empower you. And then Jesus was caught up into heaven. Can you guys imagine that for a second? You're standing on the hillside with Jesus. You're standing there talking to him. And all of a sudden, he just starts floating up into the clouds. They're standing there gazing up as Jesus disappears into the clouds. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, two men stand beside them in white apparel. They don't even turn around to look at these angels who came out of nowhere. They're still just standing, staring, looking where Jesus has just disappeared. And the angel says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. This is the last promise. He is coming again. Amen. So let's be found faithful when he comes. What's the command? Go make disciples.
Amen.
So by the power of his Holy Spirit, let's do the work that he's called us to do. If he's convicting your heart about any decision you need to make today, to trust in him as your Savior, to follow him in baptism, to commit yourself to serving him in this local church, whatever it is, if he's convicting your heart, you respond in faith and obedience by the power of his Spirit while we sing.
Page 563.